Kesar Shem Tov, Islamet Zayin, page 112. The Gemara is a famous Gemara. The Inyan of Milsa de B'dichusa Kaidim Halimud. Gemara's and Shabbos Daf Lamud on the base. If you see it, footnote one. Rabbi Mekami the Pasach l'Rabbanon Amar Milso de B'dichus Avad Chirabbanon. That Rabbi, before he would begin to say a shir, before the learning would begin, he would say a Milso de B'dichus, which means that he would say a joke. Avad Chirabbanon, he would bring simcha, he'd bring joy to the Talmidim. L'soif Yosef be'emesa, but afterwards he would sit with great fear. Be'ema u'pasach b'shmeitza, and then he would begin the shir. That was the Seder Halimud. That was how he would teach. And if he did that, mistama, there were other Tzaddikim that did that as well. They also did that. So the Baal Shem Tov explains this inyan of milsa de b'dichusa kaidem halimud, this inyan of something humorous, a joke, something before learning. Inyan milsa de b'dichusa kaidem halimud. Kechai is rotza b'shoif. That the Pasuk, of course, is talking about the Malachim that are running and returning. We've spoken about this over the years many, many, many times. But it means that a person cannot, an average person, really any person, as we see, this is what I'm talking about, even the greatest tzaddikim, cannot sustain a constant state of dvekas and heightened awareness, godless of moichin and so on. And life is a rotz of a shayv, is running towards, and then there's a time of returning, of going back. Kechayis rotz of a shayv, ha'odam beside katnas v'gadlus. And a person is beside katnas v'gadlus, smallness and greatness. Rotz of a shayv. Now, how do you get somebody, yourself or someone else, out of a place of katnus? How do we get out of katnus? I'm talking about this in the Chalban Shiurim as well. The Chalban speaking about the katnus of Golus and our way of thinking, and how do you get out of katnus? There are different ways, but the Baal Shem HaKadosh always said that the most powerful way, the most immediate and effective way of leaving a place of smallness, of katness, is Aydei HaSimcha. It's through Simcha, through joy. Joy is expansiveness. Simcha is a hachava. So the Baal Tanya always said that you see that even though there are two people, let's say, that they don't get along with each other, and Reuven and Shimon are not doing well with each other, and Reuven has all kinds of tainus against Shimon, and he has all kinds of kapedus with Shimon. But the Tanya says, but then Reuven has a baby. Reuven has a baby, and he's feeling a tremendous, tremendous simcha as a result of the good news. And he says that Meshas Maisa, when he has the baby, all of a sudden Reuven sees that Shimon's not so terrible, and he gives him also the Besara Toiva that I had, you know, to get a Mazel Tov. It also has a place in his heart for Shimon now. It's funny. What does him having a baby have to do with Shimon becoming a better guy? Well, Shimon became a good friend now. Before, they had an argument and they're not getting along with each other and life is not good between them and everything is bad. And now Reuven has a simcha, and because he has a simcha, So now he reaches out to Shimon. So good to see you. I wanted to give you the good news. And forget about what was between us and things like that. But you see that people invite also to the simcha, bring into their simcha people that are not necessarily those who they agree with and so on. And the reason for that is because a simcha brings to a tremendous harchava. It opens up things that are closed. That's what simcha does. So Baal Shem is explaining, they have simcha or milsa de b'dichusa, yoytzi mikatnas legadlas, lilmoy ladabik b'yisbarach. And therefore, through a joke, something so simple as a milsa de b'dichusa, something funny, something humorous, yoytzi mikatnas legadlas, a person is able to be taken out of a place of katnas to godless. He's able to climb out of that little place that he's in. Mikatnas the godless. Lilmoy, and now he can learn with the Harchava and he'll understand much more. L'dabik b'yizbarach, and to be dobek to Hashem. V'zeh she'omru v'hani trei badchi sh'ohi mefakhin sa'ar ha'odam ha'idei milsa de b'dichusa, that the Gemara tells us that there were two Jews, that they were trei badchi, that they saw, that tzaddikim saw on them, that there was Hashros Hashchina and Gili Aliyah v'chulu v'chulu, that these are two guys that are like a trei badchi shayim afachin sar ha'odam edem isad v'chusa. They were tzaddikim. Their whole Indian in the world was to be m'samech people, to bring them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through this Indian of Simcha, to take people out of a place of katnus and to bring them into a place of godless. Because when a person is in a place of godless, then it's very, very easy to be makar of him. but through doing this, through humor, they were able to be makar of many, many, many people through humor. But that would be a Pesach. Obviously, this has to be done properly and appropriately, and it doesn't mean things that are not acceptable, and has to be the right shear. And remember that the Gemara tells us that after Rabbi would begin with the joke, that afterwards he would sit in a state of ema. He would sit in a state of fear. Yosef be'emes u'pasuk b'shmeitza. It's not just joking and walking away. There's nothing, just stamp jokes. It's that the joking brings to a place that, again, that doesn't mean that same time that you're telling a joke that you have to then be makar of the person. But it means that through an appropriate and intelligent use of humor, of the lighter side of things, you can break that katnus. And over time, sometimes more immediately, sometimes it takes time, but over time, you could bring this person to a place of godless. Zeshakosov, and the Baal Shem HaKadosh brings an amazing raya for this yisod. Zeshakosov, Yikach Hashnei Naor of Imai, Ves Yitzchak Benai. That when Avraham Avinu went to the Akedah, he took Eliezer and Yishmael, Ves Yitzchak Benai. And he took Yitzchak. Shnei Na'arav, the two Na'arim, the two boys, the two young men. Ve'es Yitzchak Mano. And he took Yitzchak. So listen to what the Baal Shem HaKadosh says. Ka'idei ha'tzchoik v'shem shemayim. That through tzchoik, through laughter, for the sake of heaven, l'shem shemayim, you're able to lift up the years of your youth to a greater place. You're able to lift yourself up and others from katnas, which is called shnei na'or, of the years of being a child. You can lift up the na'arus, the years. Shnei na'or, of the two boys, means the shonim, the years of na'or, of na'arus, the years that you've spent in smallness, and being a child, and being immature, and being in a place of katnus, you can lift them up with you. You could bring yourself out of also things that you did when you were young that were not proper, that were not good. You could, I guess, that's what it means. How could you do that? The answer is v'es Yitzchak b'no. Through Yitzchak. Yitzchak is tzchok, is laughter. That through laughter you could bring out the shnei na'or. You could bring yourself up to a very, very great place. Others could be brought up also in such a way. To say such a thing in the pasuk, you have to be about big bar ruach hakodesh. Yikach shnei na'or v'imo v'es Yitzchak b'no. Now let's read a little bit the commentary, the Perush Baruch HaTorah. Beer Indian Milsa de Bdichusa, Kadam Alima Muska de Rechazal. Kina Chayas Rotsa Vashoev. Yachayas Rotsa Vashoev. Hainush Malachi Milo, the Chayas Akardish Nimsoim Tadir, Vitnua Machzerish Alaskarvis Valia. The Chayas Akardish, the Malachim, are in a constant state of movement back and forth. Shalaskarvis Valia, closeness, ascending, which is Rotso. Ulacharea, Yerida, and then descending via Srachakus and distance, which is called Shoif. Mechayza Chalila. Mechayza Chalila. And he brings a footnote 3, and this is discussed in all of the Svarim, that Ki Kol Emes Shehem Yardim Misrach, just looking at footnote 3 on the bottom, Ki Kol Emes Shehem Yardim Misrachakim, that the distance itself, the descent and the distance itself, awakens within them a longing and a desire to return, to come back. That's why it's necessary in life that there be distance, because the distance creates that tension, that longing. Because there's a klal that tanuk tmidi eno tanuk, that tanuk tmidi, perpetual pleasure, tanuk tmidi eno tanuk. Even if you like a piece of sushi, I know that's a very popular thing, I see, I know that had it, but even if you like that, but if you have it all the time, so when we were growing up, there was a friend of mine, we called him Shuki, and he had a job in the pizza shop on Main Street, and everybody was so jealous of him, and because he had unlimited pizza, and remember, and that was like the big hangout, you know, in Queens, was by the pizza shop. And somebody was once saying to him, when we were in school, somebody was saying to him, like, you could have as much pizza as you like. He says, that don't say the word to me. I don't want to hear the word pizza. He said, you know, in the beginning I was fressing, I end up, and then I can't even think of it. I don't want to look at it. Tanuk tmidi, ain't a tanuk. It's like that in relationships as well. It's like that with everything in life. That the relationship is all relationships are in a way of rotz of a shov, of running and returning, and the retreating. That's how marriage is built. That's why Hashem Yisboch, one of the reasons that they have that the husband and wife can't be together all the time. That Hashem Yisboch made such an inyan in the world that, okay, it created such a big part of Shulchan Aruch and so many interesting shilas and so much fighting and aggravation and all kinds of things that people go through this inyan, but Hashem Yisboch wanted to create a relationship that would not be destroyed through tanuk tmidi, through people being constantly in the same space. But by creating a distance, so then there can be a return, and the distance itself generates that longing to return. And it's like that with everything in life that's real. There are many people that they try to live a life of tanuk tmidi, especially you see by very wealthy people, by many wealthy people, the way that they raise their children as with Tanuk Tamidin, the kids grow up without a cheshek for life at all. And I once read many, many years ago, I don't know if it was true then, it's even more true now, that they find the greatest depression and the most suicides by a lot of this chevra, that they were raised afke with Tanuk Tamidi, that everybody from the outside said, wow, if I would have everything like these, you know, they could do whatever they want, they eat out every night, they have the pool, they have a tennis court, they do where they go, they come to Europe, they go to here, they have trips. And so it's a Tanuk. And the people from the outside feel, oh, if I would have that, I would be very, very happy. And we see that the Metzius is not like that. It's a Tanuk Tamidi is no Tanuk. It destroys life. And the person loses his entire cheshek for anything. Tanuk Tamidi. So the Seder of creation is that way of Rotzav Ashoiv. Achai is Rotzav Ashoiv. Running towards, and then for whatever reason, how it happens, why it happens, but returning. But the return itself is to create a greater longing to come back. And a person throughout his entire life lives in this way of this cycle of running and returning. Running and returning. Beside katnus vegadlus. Beside katnus vegadlus. Sheyesh b'mamodo matzova haruchani. Aliyas v'yiridas kvua, so many aliyas and yiridas. Yesh eis shall yeme gadlus. There are times of gadlus. Shutkufa shall hisalus, a period of hisalus ruchani, spiritual strength and progress. Utchushas kirvel elokis, and a feeling of closeness to Hashem. Ubahu oived is a kashboch, ubislavus, ubachias pnimis, and during that time he's able to serve Hashem with islavus and with chias. But then it just seems to disappear. The person feels far from Hashem. You make hotness. What is Hashem? Achias b'slavus, and then he doesn't feel any chias or any slavus in his avodah. And oftentimes it's not explainable. It's not like all of a sudden, you know, it's not like he met a tzaddik and the tzaddik gave him some chizuk or something happened. It's just something took place or whatever. He doesn't know how. That v'shuv lachi giloshu l'skayr v'lakadosh baruch hu, after a period of time where he wants to come back, he would like to come back. It's not working, whatever. But then magiyat kufas godlessness surface. Then there comes there's a tkufas godless in the sefer, and there's the inyan of vahiyer vahiboken. Yom echad, that's a person's life. Yom echad, that's erev, and there's boker, again boker, erev boker. And this, of course, is true in every respect in olam shana and nefesh. And there are times of the year that are just like now. Tkufas tevis is a dark time. It's a dark time. The nights are very long, and it's cold. The plants are all dead, and everything. It's a time of shiva for the world itself is retreating, is stepping back from Hashem, so to speak. And that's why, you know, the months that Esav's months and so on, without going into all of these things, how the year is divided, it's. The months of Esav, that Esav has a certain bilus over this time, and the transition begins with Tu B'Shvat. With Tu B'Shvat, the transition begins. But the Tekufa is a Tekufa that's difficult. The Tekufa is Tevis, and Hashem Shbach gave that through the Chacham we have such an inyan of Chanukah, Shavuot, and Purim during that time. That, because in the years of Galus it became unbearable that there was, it was such a strong shayv, it was such a strong setback, the winter, that as we grew as we were becoming smaller and smaller over time, Jews simply couldn't bear it anymore. They would just fall away. They would fall away. They couldn't hold on. So Hashem is brought into the world the light of Hanukkah and Shavuot and the light of Purim, which of course these are not in the Torah at all. And the Torah is supposed to be strong enough to go all the way from Sukkot until Pesach. Lachzik Mamad from Sukkot till Pesach, but during those days of Shoif. But when it wasn't working, so then the light of Hanukkah and Purim and these parashiyos of Shavuot, and we see that as we're getting closer to Mashiach and it's becoming more difficult to hold on, so Shavuot is getting much stronger. It's a way of surviving. It's just Shavuot is getting much stronger. Because the winter is a tkufa in the world, in time, of Yerida. And that's in physical places as well. There are certain places in the world that are difficult, and dark and difficult, and hard. Those places to find anything of elokus in those places. So Noilam Shana Nefesh. There's always that Rotzav Hashayv. That's how we live. Vaidei Hasimcha Umilsa Dibdichusa. So the Baal Shem Tov, that through Simcha and Milsa Dibdichusa, through joy and humor, Yoytzei Ha'odim Mikatnas the Godless. You know, until the Baal Shem Tov, that Gemara in Shabbos about Rava saying a joke was like a one line of the Gemara, like a blip in Shas that nobody paid attention to. Nobody spoke about, nobody paid attention to. And not only did they not pay attention to, but it was probably skipped over most of the time, and the Rebbeim were just like, you know, like those funny Psukim and Chumash and stuff. They were just, let's go quickly past this, because the last thing in the world that anybody wanted was that there should be joy or Simcha or anything like that. Even to mention that there was a great person that said a joke before learning. So how's the Rebbe going to explain that he's always so angry and depressed? You know, if you see it, the Rabbi. So it's not a Gemara that was discussed. It was there, but it wasn't discussed. The Baal Shem HaKadosh took that line in the Gemara about Rabbi, and he put a frame around it, and he made beautiful flowers around it, and he built into a whole Yisoid and Avodas Hashem. That's what we always talk about with the Baal Shem. It's not like he was saying something that was new. He didn't say anything new. But he took those places in Torah that were ignored or forgotten, and he showed how through these places the Bidavka have the biggest yisaidis and the keys to being Avdei Hashem. This is a very, very wonderful example of that. Rabbi's Milsa de B'dichusa. There were these two guys that were Bnei Olam Haba. Vahani Trey Badche, these two Badchan, these two clowns there, Badchan, joke tellers, comedians. Vahani Trey Badche, Sha'av Heim Zochu Lekach, V'shel Isukim Levadech L'Samech B'nei Odom, Sha Yeshuim V'atzvus. That they used to use this koyach of Badchanis. Like you know by the tzaddikim, that the most famous one with Badchanis is Rav Naftali Rapshitz. There were other tzaddikim who were Isaac in that, but Rav Naftali Rapshitz was a yachid. Mamashi was a yachid in Indian. And there were even those who were professional Badchanim. You see by Chasna, to be Mesamech to Chasna Kala, That's a disappearing art. I mean, by the Chassidim, you still have a little bit, but that was something that was very much a part of Chasnas in Europe, not just by Chassidim, but especially by the Chassidim, because you understand why. That's the one of the avoiders of the Yosefim Chassidus. By Chasna. So everybody's asking, why do you have to cheer up the Chasna Kala? But if you understand the Indian, so that, of course, there's a tremendous pachad with what's coming up in life and leaving the parents home. Anyway, the Bat Chonis of Naftali Rabshis, there were people, professional, there was a famous one, Rav Hershel Ostropalia, that we still have Torahs from him, and his Torahs were all in jokes. That he was a Batchan by the Holy Rishna. That he used to be by the Rishna, and he would say Milsa de B'dichusa by the Rishna. There are some fantastic stories about the Parashal Stapali, and how even after this world, that when he was Nifter, Parashal Stapali, so he came, when he died, so the Holy Rishna was very close to him, to the Tzaddik of Parashal Stapali. And he was Nifta, so the Rishna was very, very broken by that. And he went into a place like of Dveikus when he got the news, and he was sitting like that for a while, and then all of a sudden the Rishna started to laugh. And he was very much besimcha. And then they asked the Rishna, what was it? So I don't remember the exact thing, but he said that the Rav Hershel Stapali came to Shemayim. And there were two malachim, malachi chavala, like scary malachim, that were waiting at the entrance to the Olam Hamas. And the malachim asked him his name, because that's what you asked, right? They asked him his name. And I don't remember what the avart was, but he said, what's your name? And he made some funny joke about their name. The Rav Hershel probably took the malachim, their names, and he made some kind of a joke about their names. And he said the malachim start to laugh, even though these were scary malachim, they start to laugh. And while they were laughing, Rav Hershel Stapali ran into Olam Haba. He ran into Olam Haba. So the Rishna said, I always knew that, it could be it was Rav Baruch Meshbetz, I don't remember who he was, either it was Rav Baruch Meshbetz, it could be Rav Baruch Meshbetz, said that I always knew that a milsa de b'dichus is poil in this world, but I never imagined it's poil also in the next world. I knew that it can get you into a higher place here, into godless from Katniss, but I didn't know that even in the next world it can bring you to a place of godless. That I didn't know. That Hershel was Mechadli, such an Indian, even in Shemayim, to tell a joke. So it comes out the Malachim are also depressed. But we learned that because the Chai is Rosh Hashayv, so the Malachim also go through Shayv, that they're being distant. And the Parshal Stapol, you know how to say a good joke. Well, there's the Meister of the Ber Maim Chaim, the Batchan of the Ber Maim Chaim, as I've told a few times over the years. There was a Batchan by the name of Reb Yitzchak something. I don't remember his last name. There was a Batchan of Reb Yitzchak in Chernovitz. And you'll remember the story in a second. But there was a Batchan that he used to be by all the Chasnas, by the Simchas, was a great person. Anyway, there was a Sheva Brochus, and Reb Yitzchak, this Batchan, went over to Ber Maim Chaim, and he asked Grishus and Ber Maim Chaim if it's okay to imitate him, to make Batchanis. So the Ber Maim Chaim said, of course, he didn't mind that at all, to be Mesamech, everybody. So, you know that the biggest thing about the Ber Maim Chaim was Shabbos, right? That was this whole Metzias Shabbos, everything was Shabbos. So, what happened is the Batchan got up and he poured a cup of wine, and he stands there and all the people are listening, and he starts to imitate the Kiddush of the Ber Maim Chaim. And when the Ber Maim Chaim used to make Kiddush, they say everybody used to go to the end of the room. They used to stay far away because his Dveikus was, and he used to have to pour the cup many times because it was splashing all over the room, his Kiddush. It took, they said, like an hour, and it was all over the place. Must have been rough on the family. Nowadays, it would have all gone off the derech or something. But it was, and everybody used to run away because of the splashing the wine. So this, and then he had this very specific type of way of saying the words. And this Reb Yitzchak had it, mamish, he had it perfect. So he started to do the whole shtick, you know. And he's saying the Kiddush of the, he's making the, imitating the Be'er Rav Chaim. And the whole place is laughing. So all of a sudden, the Be'er Rav Chaim starts to pound on the table and he says, Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos. Like, you're making fun of Shabbos, Shabbos. And it was the end of the Bar Chanis and the end of the Shabbat Brachas, whatever. And then from that moment, this Rabbi Yitzchak began to become sick. He got very sick. And they had to bring him home. And within a very short time, he was deathly ill. The Chevra Kedisha came. And they didn't know what to do. He was going to die. So the Chevra Kedisha sent a shliach to ask the Rebbe for mechila or whatever. So the Rebbe said, I have no kapedus. I told him he could make jokes. So, but it didn't help. And then the family's there. Everybody's coming. The Chevra Kedisha by this Rebbe Yitzchak, and he's going to die. He's almost a guy. So now the guy's wife, this Yitzchak's wife, like she was besides herself, obviously. She ran herself to the Be'er Rav Chaim, right past the Gabbai. They said, what are you? She goes in and she says to the Rebbe, what did my husband do that he should be dying from this? That he asked for shus, and the Rebbe said it's okay, and he did it. He's been doing this for many years, to be l'shem shemaim, to be misamech people, and you have such a kapeda that. So the Be'er Rav Chaim said, I don't have a kapeda. It's the Shabbos has a kapeda. Shabbos is mine. Shabbos has a kapeda. So she said, what's going to be? He's dying. So the Be'er Rav Chaim said, you said that he always, his humor, his joking was always l'shem shemayim. She said, yes. So then the Be'er Rav Chaim said, so then we'll see. If that's taka true, and the Bat Chanis, everything, even the Shabbos Bat Chanis was l'shem shemayim. So then we'll see, and that even now he'll be able to say Bat Chanis. So she said, he's a guy, says he's not able to talk. So the Rebbe said, I can't help him. So she goes back, and the room is packed with people, and he's lying there. He's just about to die. And then all of a sudden, this Yitzchak opens up his eyes for a second, and he says, will the Oilim please move over to make some room for the Malach HaMavis? There's no room here for Malach HaMavis. So please, everybody move over a little bit. And the whole place started to live. And then he had a yeshua. The fever broke, and he had a yeshua, and he came back to the world. So the tzaddikim talk about that ma'isa. It's a merdeka ma'isa. That there's such an inyan like that from the darkest place of shayv, of the guys already holding by dying, and all of a sudden this nuclear weapon of Es Yitzchak Banai, Yitzchak. That was his name, was Yitzchak, and the koyach of Yitzchak of Tzchak. Asali Elokim, that even when it comes to the most difficult dinim, which is Elokim, there's such an inyan of tzchayk that a person can be mamtik all the dinim and is able to go out from the worst, the most difficult place of katnas, which is the Malach HaMavis. And then when he said that, Batchanis, everybody was laughing, and it brought him, and it brought to a place of godless, and in that place of godless, there's no Malach HaMavis, there's no death, everything is different. I was talking about this to a young lady the other day. She's a very chashuva young lady, and she lost her father recently, and she's not able to. She's having terrible, terrible, terrible difficulties getting over it, and being able to function, and so on. And I was talking to her a little bit about this inyan of kibasim chaseitzayim, of kibasim chaseitzayim. She said, "But I'm not happy." So Reb Nachman, I told Reb Nachman, says, so make believe you're happy. Fake being happy. Make believe you're happy. And be mesamech other people. And then you'll see that, like Reb Nachman said, that you see that there's a person by a dance that he doesn't want by a simchan, that he stands on the side. There are always Jews that stand on the side that don't want to dance. And if you bring him in, so he'll fight. No, you have these guys. But then if you eventually get him in, then he starts slowly a little bit to dance, and then by the end, he's the one that's dancing after everybody. He's still dancing. Once you break through the katnas, and you bring him to a place of simcha, of godless. So in the beginning, you might have to make believe. You might have to fake. But you see that these trei badche, that they're b'nei olam haba, mamish b'nei olam haba. Because what's olam haba? Olam haba is the ultimate harchava. It's the ultimate expansiveness. Olam haba is where everything is open, everything is clear. I once told you that somebody, a friend of mine, told me, you know, there was a doctor in Farakwe that was a very, very, very chashuv of a person, Dr. Ryan in Farakwe. His son is now a doctor there. But the old Dr. Ryan, you remember him, Ezra, the old Dr. Ryan? Yeah, he was a tzaddik of a yid, Dr. Ryan. He did for people a lot of taivas, a lot of mitzvahs this doctor did. So, Reb Shlomo Feifel Zechal Lefracha was very close to Dr. Ryan. They're like very, very big yedidim. And there was a big oilam that came for the Levaya, and Reb Shlomo Feifel gave a hesped by the Levaya from Dr. Ryan. And he was talking about his milas, about Dr. Ryan's milas. And then Reb Shlomo said, and boy, did he know how to tell a good joke. Rabbi Feifel also knew how. He said, oi, but he said he knew how to tell a joke. And then Reb Shlomo started like to laugh, that he remembered like how. And this person that I know told me that he was standing at the person next to him, there was a very frum guy next to him, and said, what's he saying? He's saying that he was a lights, that he was lightsanus? That's what he's saying by hesped, lightsanus? Lightsanus? And the guy said, he just looked at him and said, oh. The man's a doctor. People come in, they're scared, right? They're nervous. You say a good word, you say about chanus a little bit, right? A joke, something to lighten up. And this guy's like, chanus, that's a hesped to say that he was a light. I don't know what happened to this guy, if he has kids and stuff like that. I hope that he lightened up a little bit. But kibasimcha seitzayim, and on that topic, there, you know, a lot of times, I told this, I think, just recently, that I remember that someone before, when we first had our first child, so she was very, very, very strong, very intense as a little girl. And it was hard. She was very hard on my wife, especially. Not so much with me. She listened to me with my wife. My wife is very, very, very soft, very easy. And she, like, mamish, it was very hard. I remember my wife once had to hide in the bathroom. She locked the door just to try to be safe. Like, she was so scared. So she was very, very hard when she was little. And I was talking to Reb Shlomo Feifeld about it. I mean, I wasn't in Yeshiva, but I was very close to Reb Shlomo. I spoke to Reb Shlomo Feifeld, and he said to me, he says, Maisha, you ever tell her stories? So I said, every night I tell a story before bed. What kind of story? So I said, I don't know, about the Bedinshava, about the Balatanya, the Balshantov. He said, no. What about like Robin Hood? That's what he said, Rishon Fav said. What about Robin Hood? Like some geschmackish stories like that. And then he gave me like a little patch and he said, no, don't make her crazy. Stop making her crazy. He's my first kid. I wanted to make sure she's, you know, this is... Big tzaddik is to pour everything, you know. And then he says, just stop making it. Don't make it crazy. Just lighten up. Tell some jokes, you know. Tell some cute stories. Have a good time. Right? So it's not just the opening of a Gemara Shia that you have to use a Milsa de B'dichus. It's not just at the opening of a Gemara Shia. At all openings, you have to use a Milsa de B'dichus. At all openings. So the beginning of a day, just to be able to get out of being in that place of sleep and dark, you know, sometimes. Each person in his own way. The beginning of marriage, the beginning of children, there has to be so much simcha with children. So much simcha with children. My wife and I were at a shiva later this week, and a bunch of shivas, but this particular shiva that we went to, and we're talking to Lonnie Zolden, you know Lonnie? You know Yaakov, Jeff Yaakov. So Lonnie was talking about her father. First of all, the Levaya, and if any of you were there, the Levaya. Yeah. So, you know, I saw the guy here and there. I didn't know, I had no idea. It's like a Murdoch person, unbelievable person. unbelievable person. People, but the things that Lani was saying and her sister when we went to Shiva, and the way that he feared the house, the way that he ran the house, the home, completely with simcha, and even when there was some dinim, let's say, because the mother, there were more dinim, like, you know, this and that. The father used to, like, go over afterwards and give a little pinch and say, like, you know,
yeah.
Shlomo Meir. Yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah, I did.
I wish I did.
He's a great guy.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Rebbe, you worked with all these guys. You can't imagine how they felt about him. They all loved him. Because that way, in everything he did.
I know. I was listening to this stuff by the Levi and then by the Shiva. The stories that she was saying, and she was saying, she's also like that, and she was saying such sweet things. I told my wife, we should write them down. It should be in a book. And it was just, we were just there for like 45 minutes or something. The things that Howie did for people. She said that all of the friends, the brothers' friends, and all the different friends, they used to hang out there all the time. He used to come through all the time. And there were all kinds of chevra. He used to come through all the time. He says, like, my father would come down in the middle of the night, like, to get a drink or something. And there'd be like a stranger sleeping on the couch. Because he gave them all the keys and the coat. And he would just look in and say, hey, Max, how's it going? Hey, Shlomo. He didn't even like you. How did he get here? When did they come here? What's this guy doing here? He said, hey, so how's it going? They come down in his pajamas. And there were guys hanging out, people hanging out, that they just, why? They felt over there such a love, such a simcha, such an acceptance. And yeah, I know. His father was a huge Baal, I mean, he was a big Baal Tzedakah. The father, all Baal Tzedakah people. I had no idea.
I did it for all these years, we did it together. I mean, many people did it together, but the way he would go about giving it.
Who's Shlomo?
Oh, he would drive the truck. I would drive one truck, he would drive another truck. We both bring our kids. We slept up and down the steps all over the place in Borough Park and Far Rockaway in Queens. Two of us.
And this is a very, very wealthy, successful person. Yeah. And went in complete pashtas. You wouldn't know.
He carried the chickens over there.
He said, and she was saying how, you know, he would, the way he would tip, like the sanitation guys, the garbage guys, not. They said that when they came home, they said that he passed away. These two big guys, these garbage, they sat on the ground in front of the house and they started to cry. This is not that they were, oh, that's how they start to cry. They said that he was the nicest person. He used to slip them like lots of money. And
he was very genuine.
To be mesamech people in such a way. Like you never think about a guy like this, like some garbage collector, you know, whatever. If you give them something for their holidays, so you think you're like the most generous person in the world, but these are people that they go the whole day, they're like, you know, and to have a sensitivity to be mesamech, but the stories one after the other, each story was, they were coming out like there were small things, but, you know, because we were asking, everybody was sitting around asking about, like, what was his shita in raising the children? So she laughed and she said, no shita. Absolutely no shita. So that's so counterintuitive, right? Because now everybody's into all kinds of fancy education things. You go to the Swarms store, there's a whole section on chinuch, and this guy raised the most beautiful children, and you know how? There's no sheet at all. That doesn't work for everybody. Because there are all the other things that went with him, right? So it's part of a whole picture of a person. But like, there was no sheet. It was just unbridled kindness and love. In such a way, such ahava, and such simcha. Such simcha. That even to the last minute, she was saying, almost like this story, like the, you know, making jokes when he was in such a place. He was so sick for him. It's my children who are standing at the opening of their lives. A child is at the opening. It's like at the beginning of this year, you know? So Rabbi would say a joke at the beginning of the shiur, and then afterwards, of course, there has to be seriousness. Of course, there are things that have to get done. It's not a party. But at the opening of life, especially by children, parents who understand this art of Bat Chanis, who are good at it, in the right way. Again, it's a big chachma. They have much, much greater success than the kids that are raised in you know, as West Point cadets. You know, it's just again, but listen, you have has what I'm saying. There are places of Hefkeris. It wasn't Hefker over here. It's not Hefkeris. It's something different. It was not Hefkeris. With Hefkeris, you think that your father doesn't care. He doesn't care. That was not even a second like that. Not even a second. It's not that he doesn't care. It's that he cares. He cares. He doesn't stop caring. It's not that he doesn't care. The place was Hefkeris, that, you know. The whole world is messed up at this. Hefkeris, that the parents don't... That's not called Badchanis, that's called Hefkeris. Parents are just not, they're just not on board. They're not on board, they're not on board. They're there, but they don't pay attention. That's not what this was. He would write each kid before Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Kippur, he wrote each kid a long handwritten letter to all about why he loves that kid and so much about that kid. And I'm walking in, I said to my wife, like, how come I never thought of that? What a great thing. Every year before Yontif, he wrote such a letter. I said, what a great thing. I never thought of it. Yay! He said he would give brachas to them. By Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur, he'd give brachas. He said that place, he said he was drenching wet with tears. Wet with tears. And they would cry together with him. So the same person that everything is chilled and a joke is all... It's an amazing, amazing thing. Maybe they'll put some of this together. I don't know. The things that such a person, the Levaya, has. You know, listening to these things that the family was saying. And such pashtus. And I saw him here and there by a minion, whatever, I don't know. And, you know, Shalom Aleichem, then he came to the country, because we're together with Zoltans, we share a porch in the mountains. And he was there, he was already so sick. And I had no idea. See a person, I have no idea such a what one can accomplish with that. Sha'af heim zocha l'kach b'shel yisukim l'les loy l'chadech l'samech b'nei odem sh'ei shu'im ba'atsas. The next page. Shabakach, so you're mafakin saharodam. Klemer shachrim, matirim, sigur libo. You can free a person through joy. Through joking, you can free a person. You open up the cell, the jail. You open up his heart. Ide milsa de blichusa with a joke. How you might see my semikatnas the godless. Canal. Oz yuchlil karval halaistak dusha. And then the person's in a place where he's open to being, to learning Torah and to being brought closer to Hashem. V'nidvarim elu melamdim al malosah shal inyan habatchanis v'hatzchayk. So here the Baal Shem is teaching us about the greatness of batchanis, tzchayk, and laughter. Milsad b'dichusa shebichol t'lahavi l'kiruv v'shalotim l'Hashem. It's a tremendous, powerful tool in being makar of somebody to Hashem as well. Means bringing Yitzchak up on the Mizbeach, on the altar. Meaning using Tzchok as a way to serve God. That's the Akedah. Akedah Yitzchak means using Yitzchak, using Tzchok as an offering to God. Using joy and humor and joking as an offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a carbon to Hashem. Gan b'amiris milso de b'dichusa, ka'agdoma v'siyu l'limud, as a way of being able to learn more. Kenal. Through that, mezgalas ha'mayla ha'gadayla shebinyin ha'tzchayk. We see the greatness, the tremendous mayla of this inyin, this koch of tzchok, of laughter. And through that, a person can bring up esna'orav. Dahainu? What does it mean, the boys? Dahainu lahalis ashanim shanaris. He could bring up the years of Naras. Could also be brought up together with him as a way of serving Hashem. But not Hashem. So he's explaining it in that way that even the Shnei Na'arv, even the silliness and the jokes and so on of being like a Na'ar, one can bring up to Hashem in such a way. But I don't think that that's the pshat, really, in what at the end of what the Baal Shem Tov is saying. I think what he's saying is that because he's speaking about being mekarev a person, so I think he's saying that the Shnei Na'arv is that you could take the years, one's own years of not being in a place of godless, and Vez Yitzchak Beno, and through Yitzchak Beno you could bring up the Shnei Na'arv. But either way, it means that through Yitzchak Beno, through that tzchok, that there could be a tremendous aliyah for the Na'arim. Okay, let's stop here. What? What note?